You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on September 30th, 2021. Now, this is the last episode for the month of September, so we're going to be doing our monthly news roundup. Rather than just focusing on one story or topic, we're going to be briefly talking about a few stories from the news that I found this month. This week, we're going to be talking about the number of kids growing up in two-parent families, a shrinking pool of donors for churches, and a TV preacher raising money to speed up the return of Christ. For links to the stories we'll be talking about, as well as related materials, you can check out the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/093021. So now for our stories this week. First story, number of kids growing up in two-parent families increases to 70%, highest figure in 30 years. From Life News, says the portion of U.S. children who live with both parents exceeded 70% in 2020, reversing a nearly 30-year-long trend, data shows. 70.4% of children under 18 live in two-parent households, and 63% of minors reside with both birth parents, according to the current population survey by the U.S. Census Bureau, Institute for Family Studies reported. Now, God's marriage law is for one man and one woman for life. We're not going to get into talking about all of that. We've discussed that before, but you can check out the article in the show notes that goes into this in more detail. It's called God's Marriage Law. But marriage is the relationship that God intended for children to be born and raised. Jesus, over in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 4, said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." God intended for marriage to be permanent between one man and one woman. And then Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge." God's plan for marriage is that it is the relationship where sexual desires can be fulfilled. And what comes from that activity is children, oftentimes. And so God's plan for marriage is for, or God's plan for children being born is that they would be born to a man and a woman, a husband and wife, in the marriage relationship, and that would then build that home. Unfortunately, the number of children being raised by both of their parents had been declining. Sometimes situations like this can't be helped due to some type of tragedy. Maybe a parent dies, maybe one is unfaithful, commits adultery, and Jesus gave the exception in Matthew 19 that would allow the innocent to put away their mate. And then that one who is innocent is then left to raise the children on their own. Sometimes that happens. But regardless of the reason, even if it is a legitimate reason or no one is at fault, like someone passes away, it still has a negative impact on the children. It's difficult on them. And by extension, it has a negative impact on society as a whole. So according to this research, it appears that, at least for now, the trend is turning back in the right direction. This needs to be celebrated and encouraged by Christians. Because as more people embrace God's design for the home and see the benefits of His arrangement in it, then the more likely it is that people will, number one, be open to other things that the Word of God teaches once they see His wisdom in this, and two, people will avoid much of the heartache and turmoil and bitterness that comes from broken homes and families. So as Christians, we want to celebrate and encourage this. Let's also, those of us who are married, keep working on our marriages. And for those of us who are parents, model God's design for the home so that our children can see that and others can see that as well. There are a couple links in the show notes for this topic. They're both related to a series I put together on bringing up children in the Lord. One is the article about the home in which children are raised, but I also have a link in there for the entire study that was published in paperback, if you're interested in that. All of it is on the Plain Bible Teaching website if you don't want to pay for a paperback copy. But if you'd rather have it in that format, it is available in that format. The second story we'll be talking about today. Churches and religious organizations face shrinking pool of donors. From Lifeway Research, it says those who are giving to religious organizations are donating more per household, but fewer Americans are donating to charities, including churches. The latest giving study from Indiana University's Lilly Family School of Philanthropy found slightly less than half of U.S. households, 49.6%, gave to a charity in 2018. The average amount donated that year was $2,581. The median amount per household was $850, which means that half of donation amounts were above that number and half were below. In 2006, 65.5% of households made charitable donations with an average of $2,213 and a median of $870. Almost 8 in 10 households with more than $200,000 of wealth gave to charity in 2018. For households with less than $50,000, however, less than 4 in 10 made donations. The overall pie in giving is slowly moving toward the ultra-wealthy, John List, an economics professor at the University of Chicago who studies giving, told Religious News Service. That last part was interesting to me, that the thought of giving moving toward being something done by the ultra-wealthy. Generally speaking, the ultra-wealthy are not going to make up faithful churches. It's not that an ultra-wealthy person couldn't be a faithful Christian, but it is rare. However, giving is something that should be done by all Christians, regardless of their personal wealth or income. Paul told the brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come." Paul said this was for each one of them, not just for the wealthiest among them. Jesus praised the poor widow for giving 2 small copper coins when the rich were contributing large sums to the treasury in Mark 12:41-44. Even small gifts are noticed and appreciated by the Lord. So this should be a reminder for us that even when we face financial difficulty, which we could experience at some point, we are still to make giving a priority. For more on this, you can check out the links in the show notes about giving, including one article on church membership that talks about how this is one of our responsibilities as members of a local church. However, there is another part of that article that mentioned a potential future reality that I think we need to consider. The article says, quote, "The shrinking and aging number of donors to religious causes may indicate trouble for churches who are already reeling from COVID-induced giving decreases," end quote. Let's say that over the next 10 years, your congregation's giving was cut in half. What would the congregation do then? If that was our situation, what would we do? Would we downsize our place of assembly? Maybe. Would we have to support fewer preachers? Well, that's certainly a possibility. Would we need to have a so-called tent-making preacher? Or today we hear the word bivocational used a lot. Basically, a man who preaches but has to earn an income from secular work to support his family while he preaches. Are we going to have that as being more common rather than so-called full-time preachers? That's a possibility. However, regardless of what changes might occur, we should never stop doing the Lord's work. Giving on the first day of the week is important. The funds collected provide many opportunities to spread the gospel and to build up the church. However, the Lord designed the church in such a way that we can still do His work, even if every member of the congregation has very little to give monetarily. So with that in mind, I want us to, all of us, be thinking about what we can do. Let's continue to be generous in our giving as we are able to do so. But if conditions change, we can't do that. Let's be thinking about and looking for ways that we can contribute to the Lord's church, how we can be useful in our local congregations beyond just what we put in the collection plate. That's only part of what we do. And if we think of our service to the Lord as we show up to worship services and we put money in the collection plate, and that's the extent of what we do, more than likely there's more that we can do. Some people may have physical limitations that they can't do much more than that, but for most of us, there are other ways we can contribute besides that. So don't stop attending. Don't stop giving, but look for other ways to contribute. Because again, the Lord designed His church to be able to do His work, even if all of us can only give very little. So look for ways that each one of us, look for ways that we can be active, that we can help, and we can contribute more than just what we put into the collection plate on Sunday morning. Then the third story we'll be talking about today. A famous preacher says your offerings to a TV ministry will speed up the return of Jesus. From Charisma News, it says, Jesse Duplantis made a stunning statement recently during a TV fundraiser for Victory TV. He declared that believers can, quote, speed up the time, end quote, of Christ's return through their financial donations to the ministry. Now, when I first read that story, I wondered if maybe the comments were taken out of context. Not that I would be inclined to defend this man, but thought, well, maybe something was taken out of context. But after watching the video clip that is linked in the article, and you can check that out because the article is linked in the show notes, and you can go in there. In the beginning of the article, there's a link to a video clip where you can hear this from his own mouth. It is very clear that that was what this man's point was. By giving to this ministry, he believes we can help speed up the return of Christ. He actually said that if people will call this number and put this program on all over the world, then the Father is going to send Jesus. Part of me wonders why people actually listen to guys like that. The arrogance of thinking that people donating money to my cause or my work or my ministry will cause God to decide to end the world is just unbelievable. And not only is that extremely arrogant, it's also contrary to the scriptures. Remember these passages. Matthew 24:36, Jesus says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now, when we look at Matthew 24:36, we need to understand the difference between the destruction of Jerusalem, which was talked about in the first part of the chapter, where Jesus says, here are all the signs that will point you to this coming, and the final judgment of the world in the second part of the chapter, where he said, there are no signs for this day. Of that day, no one knows when that hour is, not even the angels of heaven, only the Father. Then a few verses later, in Matthew 24, 42 through 44, Jesus said, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert, would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." We don't know when this day is coming. No TV preacher knows when this day is coming. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, Peter said, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." We don't know when this day is going to be. Now, we should desire for the Lord to return. However, this day has already been appointed by God, and it will come when He has determined, not when we provide enough donations to some so-called ministry. So let's be watching and waiting for the Lord's return, while also being on guard against false teachers and false prophets who deceive others for their own personal gain. And if you watch that video that's linked in that article, you'll see that not only did this TV preacher say that, well, if you send these donations, it'll speed up the return of Christ, he also bragged about being a multimillionaire. This is done for personal gain. They get something out of this. And he was, as you look at that, at least to me, it looked like he was bragging about that. They make a lot of money through this, by manipulating people like this. Let's be looking forward to the return of Christ, but understand that we don't know when it's coming. Those TV preachers don't know when it's coming. So let's be ready whenever that day would be. So that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. For the links to the news stories that we talked about, as well as the related links that were mentioned, and also a couple that I didn't mention for that last story about the return of Christ, you can visit the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/093021. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So if you use those platforms, you can subscribe there. And also, if you're inclined to do so, you can rate the podcast as well. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode, or maybe interested in the podcast in general, please share this with them. I would appreciate that. And if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion, please email the link to me, andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter.